Amen. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, that you have already defeated our enemies. We thank you, Lord, for casting all the curses they've spoken against us down before they ever hit anybody. And I praise you, Father, for your complete deliverance from these animals in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we have Psalms 91 protection on everybody here and in the local too. And I praise you and I go and over in the all the missionaries and evangelists in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing and protecting your people. And I thank you, Father, for bringing an end to this very quickly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Well, great. Everybody prayed up. Praise God. I know it's been a struggle, but we know we win. We win. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody got anything they want to say before we get into yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Actually, I have a prayer request, one that my daughter just made me aware of. One of our when we lived in Montana, that this guy was our neighbor and somebody we were in fellowship with. He led our fellow our home fellowship, and his name is Larry, and his health has just been not good this last year, and we've prayed for him before, and he did have surgery and he seemed to be doing better, but he is kind of on the decline again. And he does love the Lord. He does have a heart for evangelism. But he hasn't been blessed to hear the things that we've professed and proclaim as truth about healing. He believes that God can heal, and he is asking for prayer. He's asking for the Lord to heal him. So, Lord, you know all about Larry. You know all about Larry. Praise God. There's not anything going on there with Larry that you're not well aware of. And I do pray you would bless Larry, because the Coveys were a blessing to us when we lived in Montana. And I know that you have used them to be a blessing to others. And you know everything going on here. Father, in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, we bind up this spirit of infirmity, any spirit of cancer. Father, any assignments of death that have been in witchcraft coming against him, I bind him up and cast him down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you move on Larry's heart in a mighty way by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you just, I pray that you even give him the gift of faith. Father, that there's no, let no corrupt speech proceed from his mouth regarding this situation, that he speak only that which is good, unto edifying, giving grace to all who hear. Father, that you just lift him up in the arms of faith, that he's drawn close to you. And Father, I know that there's a lot of other things going on in Larry's life, with his business, which has been very, very prosperous. But Lord, I pray you give him grace and wisdom to make wise decisions there, and to anything that needs to be put on the altar is put on the altar. And that he is just totally 100% running after Jesus. Father, just like I would pray for myself, that he is seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And so, Father, we thank you for hearing and answering. You know, he's got this trip that is planned from Montana all the way down to New Mexico to pick up a piece of equipment and have to drive it back. And he's feeling pretty rough. So, Father, I do pray, Lord, that if you allow him to go, he's supposed to leave in the morning, that you see is going out, is coming in, and that you'll watch over him and protect him and bring him home safe. And just especially while he's out there on the road, Lord, that you minister to him in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Well, Father God, you said in your word in Isaiah 53:4-5, that you took all the infirmities upon yourself so we don't have to. And Father, I just pray for Larry, I think his name is. I thank you, Father, for showing yourself strong to Larry, showing that the religion that he's been in is wrong, and that you do heal. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of cancer off of him. You go from him right now in the name of Jesus. And I command the spirit of the fear of cancer off of Larry. You go from him too in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that he'll know it's you, because the doctors can't handle it a lot of times. And I thank you, Father, that Larry's going to praise you and glorify you for his healing in Jesus' name. And we believe it. We glorify you, Father, for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Boy, hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for doing that for Brother Larry. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Ben, go ahead, brother.
I have a testimony. We all prayed for Karen's little brother, Juan. And he came to his parents not too long ago. And he's saying that he wants to quit marijuana, like that he's going to go cold turkey, and he wants to try and seek Jesus more.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for meeting him where he's at. We thank you, Father, for just dragging him on in a mighty way that he will just love every step of it.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus'
name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
And keep him in your prayers, people, because these are tough times, and he's good. You got to keep praying for these people. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for granting repentance to him, bringing him in a mighty way, that he wouldn't even have any kind of withdrawals whatsoever. In Jesus' name, that he'd just go right on through it.
Amen.
Praising you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, then.
I ask for prayer. It's now starting of a winter season. If anybody's got colds and anything, I just want to find any cold symptoms, cold, sneezing. I just want to find them, anything in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being the starting of a new season, of a dead season, before the life season starts. Thank you for working in all our hearts. Lord, about any symptoms of cold, sneezing, winter, anything in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for healing us. Thank you, but on your cross, you said, on the cross, you did everything for us. So we accept that. We stand by it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Nobody around Joe is going to get it. He surely ain't going to get it. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Amen. We did. We plead the blood of Jesus. All right. Y'all ready to hear some good praise and worship? All right.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. Chains when Jesus comes, let today be the day to come for the weak and the strong just to say, and all will believe in the power of his name. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need face to face. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed by rivers of grace. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need
thank you, Lord. how many of you know that that song may not be scriptural. That's okay. He's got a good voice, doesn't he? He's got a good voice. Just a little mixed up in his religion, but that's okay. Glory be to God.
And it's still our cry to come, Jesus, come.
Amen.
That's come, right. Amen, child, Lord.
All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about tonight? Because I don't have an agenda. I'll be warned. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Oh, by the way, everybody know Kathleen? Kathleen has been with the UBM for quite some time. She's down in Brazil. She was originally from, I think, Indiana, one of Kathleen's. Uh-oh, I called her away from the computer. All right. She's an old relative of mine. Puerto Beach rabbit. In Brazilian, we found out we're cousins. By marriage, I guess.
You're a hare and I'm a hare.
There you go.
Portuguese is coelho. That means rabbit.
Okay. Coelho. I was calling it coelho. That's not right.
Coelho. Coelho.
Yeah, what she said. Go ahead, Vanita.
This is just something that was on my mind, and we don't have to talk about it, but I just was, David had mentioned a couple times the things that have changed from the old covenant to the new covenant. And I just, he just rattles them off, and I wanted to write them down and I haven't done it yet. So, you know, he's like, the city changed, the people changed, and just a list of the things that changed. So I don't know if, you know, if we want to throw those things out and just make a list, or I can make my list at least.
Oh, okay. You didn't write them down as you heard it from David?
No, I was just thinking about it yesterday. I'm like, okay. I really need to go back and start writing those down just so I have them written down. I like to keep track.
Yeah. All right.
Gotta get a pencil.
Anybody would start out with the difference? Or did you ask the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant?
Yeah, what things changed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I said, like the city changed. So Jerusalem, it's not the physical city.
Yeah.
In the east, you know, it's the spiritual Jerusalem. The people changed. So that's another thing. So like that. What else was there? The people, the city, covenant,
just
I'll think it's more.
Simplified. It went from the physical or the sensual to the spiritual.
Right. So like the continual burnt offering changed, like you're saying, from the physical to the spiritual.
Yeah. And also, even Jesus, he was in the old covenant also. And you saw him do a lot of things. They saw him do things. But then Paul talked about the spiritual aspects of everything that Jesus did and came about. What he represented after he went to the cross. Go ahead, Andrew.
There's also one very important thing about your heart. It has to be circumcised. You know, before the circumcision was just the leader of the family, and we're just the males. And so now women have to be circumcised too in the heart.
And, you know, I always found that a pretty good verse for that is something that also can put you to rest. Are we beginning again to commend ourselves? This is 2 Corinthians 3 and 1. Or need we, as do some epistles of commendation unto you or from you? You see, because ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So this, they have a heart to bring this epistle, this word of God, being made manifest that ye are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables that are hearts of flesh. And such confidence have we toward Christ, the Godward. So this epistle has to be written in our heart, and it's reminded in our heart by the Holy Spirit, because he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. He's going to teach us all things and remind us of what he taught us so that we could do these works when we need to do them. Like this word to be commended or commendation, you know, they would give military people commendations, medals on their chest. But our commendation is from the Lord. And it's that epistle, that new heart he's creating in you. So, where the word of God is changing your heart, and it's the bread of God that would be in your soul, your holy place, because you have a holy soul now because you're promised a holy soul. You shall be holy because I'm holy. We receive the Holy One in you. You're not holy because of your commendation of anything you did, but the commendation of the Lord, what he gave you. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's, I think, 5 and 8 of Romans. So you have this commendation from the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to have. You know, it a little further down, it talks about your sufficiency. And not that we are sufficient of ourselves. So you know that ourselves is the old man, and we're becoming that new man. So even, you know, this helps for your rest, this commendation, and where we get our sufficiency. You know, it's a really interesting account. You know, I read this the other day, and then I went, wait a minute, this commendation, this epistle of commendation, is from the Lord. He writes it upon our hearts. And this sufficiency of ourselves, but not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves. This is 3 and 5 of 2 Corinthians. So you see, these apostles weren't sharing themselves. They were sharing something very special within. But our sufficiency is from God. And it says, who also made us sufficient. And right now, he's writing the word. He's making you an open letter upon your heart to have the word of God there. And from the word of God, you get the fruit of God. So that sufficiency is also not of yourself. So it's an entering into this rest, this commendation from God. It's not like I understand that you get a breastplate and a new outfit, but he's putting a commendation upon you also. And this commendation is Christ in you. Not of yourself, but of the new man in you. And our sufficiency is from God. And we can't go ahead of God or Christ. We follow him wherever he's going to put us. So, you know, and of course, then there's the verse that talks about the letter and the spirit, who also made us sufficient as ministers. Now, I'm not saying I'm a highfalutin, rootin-tootin minister or preacher there, but I can say that I am what it says in chapter 5, and we all know that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ our Lord, and given to us a ministry of reconciliation. We have that ministry to be reconciled. And when I suppose you get mature and good at it, we can reconcile others and be sons, be mature in Christ, to be blessed is the peacemaker, for they shall be called sons of God. If you're a peacemaker, what are you doing when the two are made one, us making peace? Not only with yourself, when you share this with someone else, because the two made one, thus making peace, would be a start of someone's sufficiency, start of someone's commendation, start of someone's new clothing, you know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so ministers of a new covenant. And I like the covenant in Hebrews there, chapter 8, not of the letter, because we know that that's what they had in the Old Testament. So I'm just answering some of the questions Benita's bringing up here. But of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So, you know, this new covenant, they had an old covenant, and now we have a new covenant. And we've got room inside of this vessel, not only to shine for Christ, because what's it when you shine? But, you know, and I speak that I'm in as much need as probably anyone wants to have more and more of Christ. But you know that lamp is in your soul. And that lamp has all those lights on it. It's lit by the Holy Spirit. He gives you vessels. We all need to have an extra vessel of the Holy Spirit, but God has to give it to us. And I believe that is going to be a fulfillment of the latter rain for us, because we're going to have an extra vessel of oil given to us. Because I don't think we're foolish virgins. I think we're kind of wise, not of ourselves, but when that Holy Spirit envelops you to do what he wants you to do and gives you the leading, then that's how you do it. You know, we need to go the way he wants us to go. And we want to lose our own lives so that we can live his life and shine and manifest and glorify God. So, you know, we have that seven items of the Spirit that are written in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. And it's items of the Spirit. So back there, he listed the items in the Spirit in the letter, but it was a candelabra that they had in the holy place of the temple. We've got that inside of us, and we've got the showbread inside of us too, which is the word of God. Because the bread of God is he that came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So that life is in you. And you know, you constantly fight this battle with the guy. He still comes to me and tells me, Andrew, you really didn't get saved. And it didn't happen for you, you know. And I'm going, sure, yeah, I'm wasting all my time reading the Bible and doing stuff that I'm supposed to do, you know. And plus, why should I believe this? It's not true. It's not the word of God. He even gave me a word of God to show me that it's not true. I'm going to cast down this reasoning and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. For the weapons are of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty before God, casting down reasons. And you know, he's always trying these little sneaky things, you know. And sometimes you're tired and you're in a daze and you're there, I'm so tired. And I don't know what's going on with me today. And well, that's where he has to show up most where you need him. And it's good to praise God that day and that time and start praying because you're tired and maybe go have a nap or something. I have lots of free time to have naps now because I don't have to work anymore. But I wouldn't try this at work because it's not advisable. So I pity some of the people who still have to go to work amongst the people who are not sufficient or do not have their commendation. They don't have their calling. You know, most of the church isn't even called. Did they receive a calling in the Old Testament? What's their calling other than being a member of a country called Israel? And that's why we're in a member of a new country called Israel. Because those people from Israel still need to be called. And this is a dilemma that's in most of the church out there. They're already calling them God's people. Well, they're God's first people, the letter people, but we're the second born. We're the Ephraim. And so they have good allegory. Is there too. And we need to be filled with the Lord more and more each day. You know, we want to see his manifestations. We want to, you know, I just got this yesterday and I went, oh, I think I'm going to write this down because this is part of the rest that I'm supposed to enter into. The thing is will I remember this, you know? And I guess that's not up to me either. Seeing as the Holy Spirit's supposed to do, isn't it? So that's a major trust thing. You know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is. Everyone had a taste here. I know that. They had an answer to prayer. And they manifest, they shine for God. But what if God wants you to shine in some of these smaller things that you don't really think is important? Like everything is important to God, and he's the one doing the cleaning up. But he wants that love and that joy. You know, he's going to fill your mind with some of these blessings that he says you have already. And we've done a study on them. We've done a study on the blessings in Matthew chapter 5. And he can just put that right in your head. And it'll be there when you need it. And it's progressive. Righteousness is instantaneous and progressive. You know, there's so much that's instantaneous and progressive because you're a baby going into an adult and you're going to progress in that love. You have to progress in the word. It gives you the fruit. And the Holy Spirit teaches you anyway, and he's going to remind you of everything he taught you. And that's why these fellowships have this loving in this fellowship, because this love is not from ourselves. We're not sufficient of ourselves, and we're not commending ourselves. So it puts a whole new meaning on speaking these oracles of God. It's not a feeling thing. It's a faith thing. It's the power of God, not my own power. Because it won't happen with my own power. Nothing happens with my own God. With him, I could do everything. Without him, I'm nothing. But he called you. And he gave you love that never fails. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yes, hello, everybody. Hey, man. Hey, everybody. This topic's pretty expedient as far as time. I'll say this, and, you know, Maren, do you want to give the testimony, or do you want me to? Well, Maren, okay. It's just kind of her moment. I didn't want to take it, but taking it. Anyways, the reason I say it's expedient is because, you know, her family has, they've been in the church for their whole lives, right? And they're very, I guess the word you'd say is they show up on time. They're there every Sunday. You know, they're, you know, great stewards for what they know, right? Is what I'm trying to get at. They get into the, and I won't get into it too deep, but they are bound by some law, right? And that law is what justifies them. But well, here's the amazing thing. I've been persecuted over it pretty bad, especially in the beginning when I was, you know, when I was new to this and I heard it, I was so excited. Y'all remember the testimony. I went out and said, oh gosh, you got to hear this. This is so great. You're going to be free. And I told them, just put it out on the table because I thought, man, they're going to be free. They don't have to do this anymore. This law that, you know, a lot of Christians are bound under. Well, I did that, and my goodness, they came for me. I just didn't know, man. Anyways, but here's the most coolest thing. Last week, Mariana's mom, she comes over and spends a day with them while I'm at work, and she hangs out and helps do the garden for Mariana. And they talk, and she asked. She goes, basically said, Mariana, I'm starting to believe that the law and what the church requires me to do. I just don't know where everybody's at on it. So I'm trying to be careful here. I'm pretty sure you guys do know, but they said, I don't have to do this. And I'm feeling like they're wrong. That's just such an amazing step. Now we're still praying for Mr. Cecito because she's tried to have a conversation with him and it just doesn't go. It's a no-go. Now, and like we've told her, I said, hey, you know, I didn't say anything. Mariana did. I think Mariana was led by the Holy Spirit. Said, you know, you have to listen to your husband. But we told her just enough in the word, not enough to make her fall, only to what she could accept. You know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit will guide you. But Vanita mentioned this about the cities, and me and Mariana, Saturday and Sunday, we went through Galatians 1-5, just reading it, to prep ourselves for when they ask questions, because that's the important part of this. They got to be ready. So when they ask, I don't need to tell them. And for all I know, I may not be brought up into it at all. It might be just Mariana's witness, right? And I'm okay with that. And that's the great thing about it, right? We can just rest. And when it's the right timing, they'll bring it up. But here's what we read in Galatians 4. And this is something about the cities, which Vanita mentioned. And I thought this was pretty cool because I read it and I was like, yeah, that is really cool. And it is an allegory. It says in Galatians 4:21, tell me ye that desire to be under the law. Hear ye not the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the maid and one by the free woman. But he of the maid is born after the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things contain an allegory. For these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which would be like a city, right? From Mount Sinai, boy, it's a mountain, but you get it. The one from Mount Sinai bearing into bondage, which is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem that now is. For she is in bondage with her children, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. And if that's not the truth, when you look out there, into the masses of churches. I mean, they're everywhere. But something that the Lord has showed us and shown all you guys, following the masses is just not the right thing to do. It can get you in trouble. But like it says, for more are the children of the desolate than her that hath the husband. Right? So anyways, I just wanted to share that. That was really cool, and praise the Lord for the testimony. And Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that proceeded from the Father for Mariana. And when these times come and they bring it up, at their timing, Lord, whenever they receive it. I thank you, Jesus. Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for opening up our family's spiritual eyes and ears in these last days. Go ahead, Ben. Thank you.
Well, I think the Lord's kind of working through us with this one mind thing, because I was thinking of Galatians chapter 4 as well, those exact verses of the two covenants, when with Hagar being the servant covenant, or being the representation of the servant, and people be.
And that's how you raise the dead. All right. Go ahead, Ben.
Okay. So Hagar being the spiritual representation of like a servant, as a servant, that people of the old covenant, the only thing they really could be was a servant to God. But in our new covenant, we have received a spirit of adoption in accordance with Romans chapter 8. We are no longer bound to servitude, but he gives us something more as a new life, the Son within us. And so everything that has been given to the Jews to the letter for a law, it has been given to us spiritually so that we can follow in the new life of Christ. I forgot where my mind was going, but anyways, that's kind of where I was leading on to. We're no longer just serving God. We do serve God. We do of his will through us, because he lives through us, but we are now co-heirs with Christ, which is sonship, adoption, the new creation. We're no longer naturally in these promises, but we are in these promises by faith. And that's kind of where I was trying to lead to, but then the whole debacle happened with it. Anyways, praise God.
No, it's okay. Brandy was just trying to get on, and I don't know what happened, but anyway. All right. Anyone else? Kind of lost my train of thought too, but
can I share something?
Yes, you might.
Well, we became a covenant of the better promises. Sure about all that. I just know it's true. I know that the priesthood changed, where they had, you know, their priesthood, and now Jesus became our high priest, and we are the royal priesthood, holy nation. And then there's a physical temple and the spiritual temple, of course. I understand that one too, but I thought of those. And the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, was on a few. Now we can all have the Holy Spirit. Is that right?
Yeah, he was with them in the Old Testament.
Yes.
But he's in us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Just the temple also changed. Somebody can see who that was.
Yeah,
amen. Well, actually, yeah, Sabbath too. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Tell it, Julie.
I want to say now we're the temple. Now we're the temple, and we're the priests in the temple. We're the sacrifice of our flesh. And the Sabbath changed. Now it's a continual Sabbath. It's not just one day, and prayers changed, right? It's not like the hours of prayer. It's we pray unceasingly, and yeah, it's just everything. Everything changed. Everything changed.
We're not under the law.
What law?
Yeah, exactly.
The law is for the lawbreakers.
Yeah.
The law was for the lawbreakers, but we don't, we're dead. We don't break the law anymore. You know? Praise the Lord.
Yeah, Vernita, go ahead.
I just, what Julie just said, you said now we pray unceasingly, but in the old covenant, I guess I didn't catch that. They used to have to pray a certain amount of time a day or? Okay, I didn't realize that. That's probably in the Leviticus or something in the laws written back there somewhere. Okay.
Yeah.
I think they had different hours of prayer. Like this was the time of prayer in the morning, time of prayer at different times during the day. And the watches of the night, you know, and all kinds of things. I mean, wasn't there somebody in the temple serving the temple all the time? All the time. They had shifts, like, you know, the Levitical priesthood had different times, seasons where like their what everyone call them, the sons of Levi, whatever their, I don't know what the word is, the name is, Levitical, but they'd have their times. Yeah, they'd have their times where they would be serving in the temple at a certain period of time. I was just reading where in Luke where Zechariah was in the temple. That was his time for his time, his or whatever his family is, that part. He was supposed to be in serving in the temple, making the prayers and the incense and burning all that. And that's when the angel showed up and said, you know, you're going to have a son, you know, your prayers have been answered and blah, blah, blah. And then he was silenced and he came out when his time was done. They were just waiting for us. Like the prayer time's over. Why isn't he coming out? And anyhow, it's just like all these rules and stuff that they were following. Yeah. It's neat.
Oh, what is this?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Kathleen.
Michael, what did you say about the Holy Spirit before in the Old Testament?
In the Old Testament, if you read in there, that they always talked about the Holy Spirit was with them. In John, forget what chapter it is, but in John it also talks about it.
With the prophets, right?
With the prophets. And there was sometimes it was with you know, King David. I believe he had the Holy Spirit with him, lead guide him. And but in the New Testament, of course, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, He's in us.
Right.
He's leading us and guiding us and teaching us.
So, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Got it.
Not only that, we have all the authority and power of Jesus wrapped up in ourselves because of what, you know, what Jesus has told us. They had to rely on the prophets to talk to the Lord. We don't have to rely on anybody. We can talk to the Lord ourselves. And we can get words for ourselves. All right. Anyone else? There's a lot more to this. That's a big subject. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, when you were saying the authority, that's that nature, character, and authority that we have of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then, I forgot what I was going to say.
And that's something that we grow into, you know, that's something as we study the Word of God, get the Word of God, get Jesus in us. The more Jesus will get in us, the more power and authority that we know about, you know.
The other thing I was going to say, I can't remember it, but one of the things was part of the temple, that veil was torn, and we aren't veiled anymore. Is that accurate? We don't have the veil anymore, no. So...
We have direct access to the Father. Everybody here that's filled with the Holy Spirit, has the gifts of the Holy Spirit within them. All of them.
That's what I was going to ask you about the gifts. Like we speak in tongues, they didn't speak in tongues then. And we have other gifts too. I don't know if they had all those gifts. I mean, they had prophesying, but it was a different kind of prophesying, I think. It was just specific. Well, you can get the gift of prophecy here in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, there were prophets.
That would get words from the Lord, yeah. They were very careful about how they spoke. They wanted to speak exactly what the Lord told them. Yeah, Julie.
On that subject, on the prophets and stuff, they did miracles. I mean, the power of God was in them to do miracles. And
absolutely, absolutely.
Raising the dead and, you know.
Stopping the universe, you know, just little things like that.
Yeah, you know, sick people were healed. They pray for them, they got healed. Even, you know, trying to think if there's one where, you know, they got, you know, took authority over demons too. Casting out unclean spirits, raising dead. Yeah. Doing miracles. It was through the prophets.
Yep. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was going to give a pretty good verse for how the Spirit's in you. So it's Romans 5 and 5. Hope putteth not to shame, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's a confirmation. That's a confirmation that goes along with Luke 1:37, for no word of God shall be void of power. So, and we all know that the word and the spirit and the life agree. So, just meditate on that for a while. It's just a wonderful, wonderful gift we have from the Lord. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, too. And, well, you know, there's things that he enables us to do when he wants us to do them, too. Praise the Lord of God.
And the thing about it is, you can ask him to give them to you when you need them, and they will show up. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Benita.
I was just thinking the name of the Lord changed from Yahweh and Jehovah to Father, Abba, Father.
Yeah. More personal, right? Yeah. What became his son? We're sons of God. And as we grow, we'll grow into that sons of God, sonship, I guess. And start, the more you grow, the more you look like Jesus. You do, prophets didn't have anything on us of the Old Testament. Think of it this way. If Joshua could stop the universe, you know, for a half a day so that the sun would set on it, why couldn't we do the same thing if the need arises? I believe we can. I believe we could do anything that we have to do to be led by the Spirit. When the Spirit leads us, we can do anything. Yeah, the sun stands still. I'll tell you something else. I don't know why you could have the Lord have an angel go visit somebody like you to talk to them. just thinking out loud here, all kinds of things that you could do, that we could do as a group, let alone as one single person. That's outside the realms of the mainline denominational churches could think of. Most of them don't even believe that the Holy Spirit, that there is a separate baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. Jesus said, if you ask me anything, I'll do it. Glory to God. Every one of us are ambassadors of God. Every one of us. We're priests of God. Every one of us. Where they had to be picked up in the Old Testament. King Michael. Amen. King Job. All right, King Andrew, go ahead.
Now, we're getting some real excitement here on all this stuff we have. So don't get the Gideon mentality and think that you're not eligible for these things. You know, I'm the lowest in my family here. Once you say that, you're going to be used even more.
That's right. That's exactly right. He likes humbleness, doesn't he? And he likes love. He likes love on everything. He likes love on everything. Go ahead, Dr. Patrick.
Yeah, hi, everybody. When Andrew was talking, first started there in Corinthians, going through, was it, I think it was chapter 4 there, 1 Corinthians 4, maybe. Anyway, and I got to thinking about this, talking about the glory of the old covenant, the glory of the old, and then the glory of the new. And I got to thinking of that verse, favorite verse, so favorite, I've heard it so many times, I can't remember the exact verse. It's 3:18 or something. Where we look in that glass, in that mirror, to see Jesus and are transformed from glory to glory. And I guess my mind was kind of thinking about, in the old covenant, you had the temple, physical temple, and you had the law that the Lord laid down to guide his people through a certain expected process. And one of those, of course, you had laws for everything. And, you obviously, could expect if you fulfilled that law, just like all law, you fulfill the law, you get the result. And however, unfortunately, the same truth is if you do not fulfill that particular, I'm speaking particular laws, you suffer the consequences. But if you do fulfill that particular law, there's a certain self-satisfaction or that you made it, you did it, you accomplished, you know, that sort of thing. And, of course, the reverse is true when you fail, you, you sense a dissatisfaction that, you know, you, you blew it type thing. So that, that aspect is obviously functioning in the old covenant because there's the obedience and submission and obedience and then the failure. And then, you know, the failure, you have a law, you bring forth the sacrifice of turtle doves or whatever, however many other sacrifices that were required there. And you fulfill that law that God has provided, and you are satisfied through that, that process. Satisfies the mind in that you have accomplished that particular law of whatever it is, and satisfied that law, and you have become righteous in God's eyes in that sense. Let's say for that particular sin. And there in that is a sense of release or ease or maybe satisfaction or peace with God in that particular thing. And I'm thinking right now of, when King David committed sin with Bathsheba and took another's wife, such and such, and that whole process, and which was the generation of Solomon. Well, no, I'm sorry, that's wrong, because God took that child, if I remember right now, I'm thinking about it. But anyway, Psalm 51 is that repentance, that, that whole, you know, he got called on the carpet by Nathan. Yet, interestingly enough, now I don't know if he fulfilled the law of the sacrifices of bullocks or you know all that. I do not know what happened there, but I know that his heart was changed. His heart is when he cried out to God, you know, the sin I have committed before you, and repented before God and confessed his sin and cried out to God to change his heart and do not take thy Holy Spirit away from me, etc. And so I'm kind of spitballing here and everything, but I'm almost thinking that, King David there entered almost into like a new covenant type of, he recognized that, what is the scripture that I believe is in that said, you are not pleased with bullocks and sacrifices of flesh, but a broken and contrite spirit, a broken heart or in a contrite spirit. Those are your sacrifices. And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, wow, you know, he kind of like broke tradition or broke the law. He kind of shifted over into almost another covenant. So, you know what, I'm not even going to continue that because now I'm thinking in different things here. However, I'm thinking, I was also thinking of Simeon, And when he was in the temple, and when the baby Jesus was brought in after 8 days for circumcision, he recognized who he was. The Holy Spirit opened up his eyes because he was looking for the redemption. He was looking for the, he was already looking, for the Christ. Yet he was in that old covenant relationship with God. But the scripture says that he was, let me just, as it is, they brought in Jesus to offer sacrifice according to that which the law of the Lord, which was a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, etc., etc. You could read through there. Simeon was connected to the old covenant, but his heart was looking for the new covenant, was looking for the Christ that God was bringing. And then he prophesied when in that whole situation. And then after blessing, Mary and Joseph, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with a husband 7 years in her virginity. She had been widowed even unto 84 years, who departed not from the temple, worshiping with fastings and supplications night and day. And those two specifically are a picture, remind me of a picture of the process in the law of sanctification. And, perfection, if you will, when Zacharias was in the temple, there, his time came up in the year according to the law, and he gave his life. He was separated unto service to the Lord. He was separated, almost a picture of sanctification and perfection. He was put in this temple to do a particular task, job, or whatever, through this process. He was separated, sanctified, and a kind of a picture of perfect or complete. He wasn't going home at night doing the dishes or anything like that. I don't think so. He was focused on that task. And so I guess I'm thinking that, like, the old covenant in these types and pictures before us, kind of a picture of sanctification and this concept of perfection. And so when I, in the new covenant in Hebrews 10, it talks about God now did something in that he brought this sanctification, and he accomplished this sanctification and completeness in one act. in Jesus. And so it having been done in one act, we can stand before that mirror in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Is that the one, Michael? We can stand there, and even though there is an old covenant self-serving, self-righteous, shall we say, potentially self-righteous, old covenant perspective there, that we have the ability to put to death and focus rather upon the new life of Christ that is in that mirror through the truth of the Word of God, and believe rather that Word and allow that Word to transform us from that old glory to the new glory in Christ. So I was kind of thinking of what, and that's kind of what I was thinking about when Andrew brought that concept up there in Corinthians 4. I'll have to go back and read that and think about it. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Anybody else? How old did you say Anna was?
I think she was, well, she was served in the temple 84, but wasn't it? She had been a widow. And there was an Anna, one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So,
she was old.
She had to be, what, 16 or, you know, and...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm just thinking, you know, from, say, under 20 to living with her husband 7 years, and then another 84 years after that.
She was 100 years old at least, huh?
She, yeah. Wow. But separated, and it almost reminds me of Samuel's mother, who gave herself, separated herself and gave herself and ended up making a covenant with God, and the Lord blessed her with Samuel, which she weaned and gave back to God. So there's something to do with sanctification, devotion, commitment, wholeheartedness, giving over to God. So,
we have a special guest on tonight that has a news flash. What about it, David? Marlena?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, definitely a testimony, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Let's go for it.
What wasn't the easiest pregnancy, and it's definitely been a trial of faith. But I mean, the baby was out in 3 pushes. Came out really quick.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Elena says, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Awesome. Go ahead,
Dave. Especially after making her a steak dinner tonight, she definitely says, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But it's truly been a blessing.
Yeah, it was so blessed. We had the most amazing team of midwives. We had two midwives and an assistant. And two of them were believers, so they were just praying over me, and it was so wonderful. It was so just, oh, thank you, Lord. It was beautiful. It was huge.
Praise God. Tell us about the baby.
She's the biggest one I've had yet.
Oh my, yes, yeah, she was big.
Yeah, 9 pounds, 2 ounces, 21 3/4 long.
Oh my gracious, that baby's talking. Is she talking?
She is a sweetheart. I love her.
I know. We'd like to love her if we could see her.
Do you want to get the lights on?
Yeah, I'll get the light.
All right, I'm going to have to spotlight you.
Hold up.
Where'd you go? Oh, there's the baby right there. All right, just a minute. Let me spotlight you. If I can. Oh, gosh.
She's adorable.
It's a sheep.
Yeah.
Hadassah Faith.
Hi, Hadassah. Awesome.
Hey, Hadassah. Look at them eyes. Good gracious.
Oh, all these loud noises.
There welcome, she is.
Welcome.
Can y'all see her now?
Welcome, baby.
Hey, girl.
I think she looks like Daddy, huh?
I think so. Yeah, we'll pray
that
for
that. Sure looked like David.
She has the same nose Abigail did.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Aww. Well, congratulations.
So pretty.
Thank you.
Got dark hair, too.
Yep.
She's precious.
What does Abigail think?
What?
The kids,
did the girls love her?
Oh, my goodness. Addie can't stop asking to hold her. And she keeps having her toys. And she's like, Mama, don't take it away. It's Hadassah's toy.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, they're loving on her.
That is awesome.
Wow.
Hey,
you feeling
Hattie.
Good? You feeling good, sister?
Yeah, thank you, Lord. I'm feeling stronger every day, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We got this down for posterity. Oh, that's our girl.
Amen. Amen.
She's a singer. She's a singer. Praise God. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for showing us that good-looking girl.
Thanks for showing her off. Aww, yeah. We love you.
Love you.
Thank y'all.
All right. Thank you. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful addition to the UVM family. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Where'd they go?
You have them on spotlight. You have to unpin them, I think.
Oh, okay. And how do you do that? Oh, okay. I did it. There we go. There we go. Okay. That was a treat. That was a treat. New covenant treat. Amen. I don't know how we can top that one. Quit that, Benita. No. All right. Anybody else on the difference of the covenants? Yeah, Vanita.
I put on my list, our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and, you know the rest.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's right. It's a spiritual now, it's not a physical, is it? What about our sacrifices?
We put to death the old man.
Yeah.
We all have a little bit of that beast in us. Put him to death.
Yeah. I got to die. Self and world's got to go. Oh,
I also wrote down, we're not sinners anymore by faith. We've been saved by grace. But like in the old covenant, they were sinners and they had sacrifices. That was all done at the cross for us. So, amen.
We don't do eye for an eye either, the old law. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
They also, they wouldn't have any idea what grace was. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. They didn't have any grace at all. Paul was saying that the prophets were prophesying of this for us. So all of that prophesying that they were doing was all for us in our day. And, grace comes with rest as well, and their rest was a Sabbath, but we now have a Sabbatismos, which is constantly resting God to do his work through us. And so that's different too. It's no longer just a day where I don't even know what it was for. I didn't really look into it, but it's more resting in peace with God's work in us.
Yeah.
What?
You got to finish the sentence, Vanita.
They all want dinner here. I'm trying to tell them to wait.
Just hang on, bud. Hi, Rion. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else on the new covenant, the old covenant? All right, y'all come up with something here.
Michael?
Yes.
Did David make a teaching on that?
On the new covenant, old covenant, all the time.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's few of his teachings on that.
Well, I've heard all the videos, all of the 11 CDs over the years. I have to go back, find it.
Yeah, he talks about the difference between the covenants.
Yeah, gosh, I
can't remember which ones they were,
but it's not a specific one with all of them in it, right?
I don't think so. Okay. If that's what you're asking,
that's what I was asking. So. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But he does reference it in lots of his teachings. Okay, anyone else? What about water baptism? Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's in Colossians or Philippians where it says about baptism replaced. I mean, it doesn't say it this way, but I'm going to explain it this way. Baptism replaced circumcision.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I got to find it. It says, I gotta find it. Come back. I'll find out where it finally.
Go ahead, Julie.
I have a question about that because John the Baptist came preaching repentance and he baptized people for the forgiveness of sins. So where is, because John was still part of the Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. So how is that part of the Old Testament? Where were they baptizing or what was that? Where did they do that in the Old Testament? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
All right. So we use scholars. Go ahead, Missy. You ready?
Merle has an answer.
All right. Let's hear it, Merle.
Okay. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, why they had to sacrifice animals. And it was a continuous thing for their sins.
Yep.
In the New Testament, Jesus did it once for all. His sacrifice is efficacious. It means it's done once for all for everyone. So it's not a matter of doing it daily. It's once for all. Also, in the Old Testament, the Spirit came down upon them to give them the utterance or whatever for the working out of God's purpose. In the New Testament, why Jesus was incarnated as a man. He had human living. He was crucified and resurrected. And this is all put in the Spirit. So when you receive the Spirit and he comes into you, what comes into you is all the elements of what Jesus did, the incarnation, the human living, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. And so in us is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and the man Jesus. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
So what you're telling me is that everything that Jesus had, we have too, right?
Exactly. It was all put in the Spirit, and it's all in us when we believe.
Okay. Well, praise God, because that means that if Jesus raised the dead and healed the sick and delivered the people, we can too, right? Because we have the same stuff that he had.
We have the same. We are. He became a man. Becoming a human being, brought divinity into humanity. And when he resurrected, he took humanity into divinity. And this comes back down into us when he was descended as after he resurrected. So when we believe, we have everything he had.
Amen. Amen. Well, if he's the vine and we're the branch,
exactly.
We got everything he's got, right? So exactly. We can walk like Jesus, we can talk like Jesus, and we can act like Jesus, right?
And we are supposed to.
Amen. If what?
What?
What'd you say there at the last? I didn't catch that. Oh, yeah, we should. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Amen. Well, thank you.
Amen.
For that.
I'm done.
Okay, brother.
I'm still looking for those for where that's at. I think.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Bernita.
First of all, just to answer Rian's question. What we're talking about is the things that changed from the old covenant to the new covenant. So like the people changed, the city changed, the law changed to grace, Sabbath to the continual rest, just all those, just listing out all the different things that changed. So one of the things that I just wrote down was, so in the New Testament, we're born again, we're born from above. And I think it was, I don't remember where I heard this. I think it was David's teaching, but when we're born again, it's a virgin birth. Just like Mary had a virgin birth, we have a virgin birth also. And I'd never really thought about that before. And it's like, wow, that's crazy. That's true. Cause we have our Father, you know, is God. And we didn't have, you know, just like, well, it's just a virgin birth. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting trying to think through that. I was like, oh, okay. When I was born again, it wasn't like in the natural. It was a spiritual birth. Received the sperma of Christ, the word of God.
A new creation. A brand new creation. That old man been left behind. It's dead. It's gone. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Missy. I think she found it.
Yes, I found it. It's Colossians 2. I'm going to start reading at verse 8. Colossians 2, 8. Take heed lest there shall be any one that makes spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what Merle was talking about. And in him ye are made full, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having despoiled the principality and the powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. But the main verses is, in whom you were circumcised with a circumcision, not with hands in the putting off of the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So, yeah, baptism replaced circumcision. Right?
Yep. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Isaac.
Hello, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm on a different device. So, about the law and the you know, what's been changed or fulfilled. This is something I found to be really interesting. So, you read Psalms 119, right? How it goes through the alphabet, and you know that the Hebrew alphabet is also numbers. So the Lord put on my heart, this is in 2021, to read the numbers and see what it comes up to. If you start with their alphabet and what it ends with, because they go through every like 8 verses as a new letter, it equals 1,495. Now, this is pretty wild stuff, really. And so I searched, like, what is 1495? What's the symbology of this? And I'm going to tell you what I found out with, and even so much to where Ron Wyatt agreed in one of his videos about the law and the birth of Christ. And here's an article I found, and I'll read this part of it. It's The Numbers of Jesus is a book. And in one paragraph, it says this: "But however, it is agreed by all that the Hebrew alphabet and its forfeit numbers marked at 1495 as the years from the law written to the birth of the Christ." So the 1495 years from the law written to the birth of Christ. Why? Why 1495? Because Psalms 119 is all about the law and the love of the law, because Christ was the fulfillment of the law. He was the fulfillment. And then it goes on to say the law written to the birth of Christ as all that follow Scaliger, I don't know who that is, or from the death of Moses, the lawgiver, to the death of Christ, which being 34 or 35 years after his birth, must be 1495. And so I thought, man, there's real symbology here with that, with the Psalms 119, the letters that equal 1,495, the law written to the birth of the Christ to equal 1495, which is another, you know, a foreshadow of everything to come, as we've been talking about, is Christ is the fulfillment of the law, the embodiment of the law with a new covenant is what I'm trying to say. He fulfilled it all. And that's something I've been wanting to share for a long time. I just never found an appropriate time. It seemed pretty good. Anyways.
Good.
Amen. What is that? Oh, is that you, Kathleen?
No. Must be. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. All right. Anyone else? Have we gone through all of that? I don't think so. There's more. A lot more. Well, is there something else y'all want to talk about? Yeah, Julie.
They don't have the tithe offering anymore either. The tenth, the tithe offering, tithe offering to the priests, the Levites.
Yeah, there's no more offering. It's not a tithe anymore. It all belongs to God, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that happened to Baptist Church down the road. I made that mistake one time. Yeah, I know.
I tried to share that one time with somebody in my ignorance and being, you know, like, you know, running after the Lord and wanting to bring him back to people that, you know, I was in church with, right? And I found the real Jesus about the whole tithe thing. I understood that not being part of the law. And this sister, she got so, she's like, well, what about the money then for the missionaries? How are they supposed to have money for them? And all these other things. She was not happy with what I was saying. She really thought that the missionaries needed that money.
Well, I got called to the carpet because I got a little bit here, and I was young in the Lord at the time, a little hot-headed, but they let a they let a young man get up there and just curse the fellowship for not paying enough money. And I got up on the Tuesday night where I was teaching, and I told him, I said, look, you're not under the law. You don't have to tithe. And I gave the scriptures and taught him what was going on. It got back to the Pope. I got called to the Vatican. And he said, we got to talking. He said, Michael, where do you come up with this stuff? I said, in the Bible. He said, well, how do we pay the bills around here? I said, what happened to F-A-I-T-H, faith? Because that's what we work, that's what we do, we walk. He said, well, you can't do that. I said, yeah, you can. I said, you can do it. You can have faith to anything. God said, Mark 11:24, I'm going to do that route. And he said, well, I'm just going to have to shut you down. I said, well, you might move me, but you won't shut me down. And this is an old friend of mine, my old friend from high school. But anyway, we made up afterwards. I came back and apologized to him for splitting his church up. And it didn't split up until way after I left. But anyway, you got to be very careful. You don't want to cause trouble in a church. That's what they believe. Till they get a revelation, that's what you think would happen to them. You know? All right, Isaac, go ahead.
Hello. Back on the same device now. That's a really interesting subject for me is the tithe. And I don't mean it in any way critical. You know, it's something that, like Julie said, and Michael, you just explained, it's got to be right timing. And that's something that we in our family, we deal with the in-laws about, but we don't talk about it. It's got to be them talking about it because that's when they're ready. And, I want to share a little, revelation the Lord gave me. So, you know, about the fishes, when Jesus told Peter to go throw out a line and pull in a fish and have a denarius or coin or whatever in the fish's mouth, right? I was reading that and I was thinking on it, and I really feel like the Lord showed me, because see, back then they didn't have separation of church and state back then. Church and state was one. Okay. They had a temple. It was a temple tax / tithe. And when Jesus was with his disciples, they asked Jesus, I'm paraphrasing here. They asked Jesus, does, your master not pay? And, Peter walked in and Jesus said, Peter, why do you look, why the long face, Peter? Let's go with that one. And so Peter said, and Jesus said this to Peter. He said, Peter, from whom do kings receive tribute? From sons or from strangers? And Peter said, from strangers. And he said, therefore the sons are free, right? And that brings a whole new context of he who the son set free is free indeed. And if you read in Galatians 1-5 or 1-6, it's so good when it comes to talking about the law. And it's really well explained. And I don't mean it's wrong. There are those who are ignorant. I was once ignorant, and I know those who are, and I also know that the Lord's going to bring them out, but you can't, the law will set, make you one, a servant or a son, right? Hagar or Ishmael or Isaac. And you can't be a son under the law. That's the whole thing. And it is so, and it's especially for us who know this, right? We've been given this knowledge, and we should also be really careful who we explain it to, because I don't want to explain it to somebody who can't accept it and then be held accountable for now knowing the truth, but not being able to receive it, right? So I'm very careful about that. But anyways, I just want to explain a little revelation the Lord gave me. It's just, I don't know. I think it's really cool. And I think the Bible, the New Testament, people say, oh, it doesn't talk about it very much. So it's got to be it. It talks about it very much and explains it in good detail. We just have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we need it. I need it every time I read the Bible. And I also need grace. And I know this. I heard David Hill say this a long time ago, and it really resounded with me or resonated with me. You got to give grace to get grace, right? Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I always thought about that. That's all.
You're exactly right. You have to give that grace. He wants the grace, right? A lot of truth, a lot of power. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, there's the verse in Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
Yep.
Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And like Isaac was touching on there, we're not here to judge. As it says in 3:17 of John, we're in that demeanor of Christ, and we have to think not that I come into this world to judge the world. I came not to judge, but to save. God is almighty. He knows how to do these things. And he opens the door and he makes it all happen. You wouldn't be here for this now if he didn't open the door for you, which should be exciting for you to know that you've overcame some things here. He granted you to repentance. He granted you to see this, to understand it. And, law can mess up some people pretty bad. And, you should have some verses in you to show you that you're not under the old covenant. You know, you're not under the letter. You're going to fulfill the law. Jesus came and said, think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. So the fulfillment of this is the grace and faith and the gift. You know, it's especially like when you're faced with some of these Christians who are under law, you know, it's hard to try and, like, they're legal Christians. They've never been called, you know, they've never come to the Lord. And sometimes a calling could be a really basic calling, and the Lord has to improve them from there. So, you really have to be, like, really careful. And, you know, legality Christianity is something that was started and has been around for 1700 years. And you need to be a called Christian, which is a more narrow understanding. It'll be called narrow-minded for sure, but as long as it's in Christ, they don't have life. They have law. And it's a sad thing that there's so many Christians stuck in that law thing. I'm a Christian because mommy and daddy were. And they don't hear their calling. They don't hear the love that God has for them in John 3:16. And you can always take that John 3:16 and overlay it on top of Ephesians 2:8-9. And it's really neat the way it works out that way, because John 3:16 is before the cross. But we know in Ephesians 2:8-9-10, that's after the cross. And you can collate those items to explain it. But even with that, you know, the carnality is another issue in Corinth. Because it went from division to carnality to one of the young lads there having a form of fornication. And you can see that in society, you know, all these divisions in the churches, they were all present in the theater of the Second World War, and their offspring had they were divided in that war. They all served there. They came from many different denominations in that war to fight. And a lot of the stuff that God did was sort of put to the side for these denominational people. And the offspring of these denominations had great carnality. There was great division there in war. And then there's great carnality. And then, you know, those teenagers that were at Woodstock performed not just a singular one, but a group of fornicators. And so the division brought forth a great division, a faction, and a factious against God's word, and all of the other fruits of the flesh came into the barrel of those people and in them, and they had very little spirit, because carnality is a mixture of spirit and flesh. So and then they performed the fornication, and they don't see it. They don't, and only the Lord can be the Holy Spirit that convicts them of this sin, so that they can know that that they need Christ. So that the Holy Spirit works through them. I think it's in John chapter 16. Some people are trying to play the Holy Spirit, whereas the conviction, a condemnation gospel is going to mess up a Christian. The condemning has to come through the Holy Spirit. They have to know they're the bad guy, and then they get saved. They're granted, you know, they're miserable, just like the guy in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 was miserable each time he probably, because he was handed over to the devil, but eventually he came on the side with the Lord, and he wanted this sin away from him. And hopefully then he became saved. So, and we all know this, that if there's no fear of the Lord, if there's no light of fear, if there's no light of the Holy Spirit convicting these people that they are that sinner, you know, if they're told, if they have to be told they're a sinner, and you have to, that's not something we do. That's something God does. He convicts us, the people of sin. He convicts the judgment of the devil, because he can infect people, and he also convicts people of righteousness. So it's some verses there in John 16. And I'm just saying, speaking from experience, you got to sometimes think of that time before you were saved, what you used to do all day, you know, and it wasn't much. And it has to have an increase through God. It has to even be started by God. Everything by sovereign God choreographs it all, makes it happen, and puts you in the position for you to act on it. To act on it when he wants you to do something better. And that's walking in the Spirit. You know, he'll make it happen for you. You'll just know when it, what you're supposed to do at that point in time. Like Peter did in the book of Acts, when he was on the rooftop and then the people show up at his doorstep. I don't think it's that evident in the Old Testament that way. I think God just showed up, and they went, wow, you're going to use me like Gideon, you know. And, you know, even Moses had a problem with that, you know, when he was on the mountain. Well, I don't know if you can use me, but we have a better covenant than Moses. And that's something we have life within us. They were all waiting for this life that we have. And there's so many things to this life. It's so innumerable that's why he has to give to you beyond whatever you think or ask. Because you can be asking something and the Lord God sees all of it. And you asked one particular thing and he can multiply it into much more for what you asked for, you know. And sometimes as little children and the Lord, we ask for something and he'll give you a lot more than what you asked for. We know from what we've read that he's going to restore us to that ability to, you know, when you read Ezekiel 34 there, it talks about pastors that have trampled out the grazing place and stepped in the water and mucked it all up. And, you know, that's what the Lord is going to restore for us. The Lord restores that in those whom he will restore. So there's some really interesting and wonderful things the Lord is going to do for us and has in store for us. You know, he's an almighty God. He knows what he's doing. You know, he picked some fishermen. You know, were they well versed in the scriptures? He's going to remind you. He taught you it. He's going to remind you when you need it. You know, he can remind you of all the promises when you need them. Now, I don't know why sometimes it takes longer, but you're supposed to be steadfast. You're supposed to fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of the eternal life. Unto where you were called. You know, and confess the good confession before many witnesses. And if you're going to lay hold of that life, then you sometimes wonder, did he put that idea in me to lay hold at this time? So it makes you think a lot, and it makes you love the Lord even more. And so happy to be part of the family, to have that new life in. Praise God. There's so much to that life of Jesus. So much we still need to have. Praise God.
You be. All right. We're out of time. Lord, we just bless this fellowship tonight. We thank you, Father, for all the good word we heard tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the brand new Timberchuck that came into the world yesterday. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that mama's okay, baby's okay, all the little ones are okay. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessings tonight.